Hey folks, Tim and Brandon here, and we'll get on with the show here in just a minute, but we wanted to start off by telling you about our friends SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts have always been a little confusing, to say the least. Lots of sites out there, you never know which one to trust, which one to go to. Now, I have an answer for you, and that is SeatGeek. They've came along and created an amazing app and a website that you can go to that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell their tickets.
Yeah, it's actually pretty amazing. I was looking just the other day for some Stars tickets coming up in the next couple months of the preseason. And one of my favorite things about SeatGeek, they calculate the price with the fees included up front. That is such a hassle for me with other websites. I'm really glad SeatGeek does it right up front. You know what you're paying, and they give you the great deal score. I wouldn't buy tickets any other way, personally.
Let me tell you something, Brandon. SeatGeek's not just for traditional sports or concerts. Maybe snatch up some international tickets for this upcoming weekend. They have them on there. Well, you're in luck, because we have a special code for you here where, as long as you download the app, go to the settings tab and add the promo code CENTER, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code CENTER today. Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, TCR for short. Or I think our fans made this nickname up, but I think it's your favorite esports podcast. Coming to you live from an unknown location. Episode 37 in your face. I'll be one of your hosts for this journey. My name is Tim. My co-pilot, my rock, my first mate, my right-hand man, my main squeeze, my IGL.
God, I am not an IGL.
In-game leader for love.
I am literally the Freakazoid. If this is Cloud9, I am Freakazoid. An awful, awful entry fragger that got kicked at Echo Fox.
That voice you hear is Brandon. Brandon, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. I feel like this is going to be the best episode ever. Through all the prep work we've done, I think it's going to pay off. It's going to shine to the listeners that this is the best episode yet. Because we are going to end the show with e-news, as always. Have some stories to at least bring up, mention, give a shout out. We will touch on the International 6. We won't do a full preview. Look, I wanted to do a full preview, but time sometimes falls victim. We'll do a full recap on it. Sue me. And we will also, though, spend the majority of this episode discussing E-League. Because season one of E-League wrapped up this past weekend, really. It's been a long journey, but E-League finally came and went. The social experiment, if you will, that Turner Broadcast was brave enough to take on. Were they brave enough? How much credit do we want to give to Turner on this? We'll start with our impressions and we'll break down the finals.
You want to start from the very beginning?
Take me back. When did it start?
Oh, you're going to ask me for a date?
I'm going to ask you for that date because I didn't do the prep work for the date. I just asked you that.
March of last year, I believe, is when it was first announced.
Well, no. Okay. So when did it start, though? It started May 24th of this year.
May 24th of this year, yeah. So they were actually announced in October of last year.
October, May. I see where you can get confused.
March, May. There's a lot of months. This is a very, very long tournament. Wasn't even a tournament. This is a very long season.
Okay, I'll stop you there, sir. Because I see a lot of people complaining on the... I say a lot of people. I've seen two people on Reddit post this. And it's enough to trigger me and stand on my soapbox, that they say that they lost interest with E-League because it's just too long of a tournament and there's bigger tournaments in between and they just stopped caring. My argument to that is that this was not a tournament. I guess by definition, sure, there was groups and whatever, right? But then anything's a tournament if you really want to look at it. Any season in any sport's going to be a quote-unquote tournament. But this was not a tournament. This was a league.
That's hold over from, you know, it's classic esports where it was one-off events everywhere. Now it's not that. Now it's not one-off events that you just try to play through, a single group stage and bracket in a day, but everyone still calls it a tournament.
And in fact, if the schedule and the powers that be allowed for it, I would actually like to see it extended longer than what it was. I would like to see possibly 2 weeks of each group play.
Do you want bigger groups or more matches from the same groups?
More matches from the same group. I think that would create more interesting storylines, because that way you have these lower teams and groups playing these top tier teams, and one could argue that that's just feeding the scoreboard, or that could lead to more upsets. You know,
right.
Like what if Cloud9 all of a sudden beat Na'Vi in a group stage? That could butterfly effect anything down the road. 1 week of group play, though, you don't really have as much chance for those crazy storylines, and just, I don't know. I like longer seasons, obviously, because the scoreboard and the standings all move around.
I just want to see people using the term season so that we can start talking about possibly having the term off season, as in when there's not games going on every single day for 11 months straight.
Well, using the word season and making that a regular household thing in esports opens the door for a lot. Like you said, an off season, which apart from League, you really don't see an off season as much. It also opens the door for trade deadline, which we saw firsthand the issues that happens without one, where the second that the season starts, and if you make any changes, you're going to be punished for, where we saw SK and Luminosity fall victim to that. That was a weird situation. I don't even know, given a trade deadline, how you would make a ruling for an entire team swap to that caliber. I know we actually had a listener email us asking, could we go into a little bit more detail as to why SK and Luminosity got punished for their roster moves, but then you had other teams in the league also make roster moves that were not on their sub list originally. And I'm not going to lie to you, listener. We tried doing research on that, and I couldn't find a good enough answer for you. The only thing I could assume is because when they made the rule, they never expected an entire team to swap out.
Yes. So this
like
is
you don't plan for an entire team swap in mid-season.
And this is something that the listener brought up. I'm going to get his Twitter here in a second as well for him to give him the exposure, the credit. He brought it up, and it's not something anyone's really talked about, right? And that's because it's a one player swap and people are used to that. B, it's also because it's not LG, who were absolutely destroying everybody in E-League, getting disqualified for it. And C, it's not like SK Gaming, who had this underdog team that, you know, won a match here or there and was suddenly no longer allowed to compete regardless of whether or not they had a roster.
To compare the two teams too. So SK Gaming, they were in first place in the league. When it's all said and done and you look at league standings, SK, their current roster, that is number one in the league. So you had the number one team in the league get completely disqualified, which in any other sport, even LCS, that would be groundbreaking, earth-shattering news. Now, with Counter-Strike, there's so many tournaments going on that it was big news, but I think people got over it faster than what you would do in a normal, you know.
Right.
If E-League was the only season for Counter-Strike, you would never hear the end of it. But because it happened in the middle of a major, that was a lot of distraction and
And it came out in a tweet, like it wasn't even,
yeah,
no,
it wasn't
no, nobody
huge.
Was notified. It was just, they tweeted out and said, oh yeah, by the way.
But SK Gaming, or if you're looking at standings now, Team X, they were 13th. So, you know, you want to look at rosters and was it fair? Well, you had the first place team and the 13th ranked team in the standings get the same form of punishment. But why they got that punishment dealt to them when they said the rules were the rules. We allowed for 5-man rosters and 2 subs. They went over and above, and therefore we have to punish it. I stand behind them standing behind their rules. I don't think you can ever fault someone for sticking with their guns. But when you have other situations, that's when it kind of muddies the water.
Yeah, so that whole tip came from, you can find his Twitter account at Eduardo Koji. He actually sent us an email in our little contact form on the website. Anyone can do that. And look, he made the show.
Just go to tcr.gg. tcr.gg. I would love to do more Twitter and listener response segments.
Yeah. Of course, in the E-League general rules, they have that nice little disclaimer rule in there that says, like, the E-League commissioner has, you know, final say on all rules. But Eduardo also brought up the fact that CLG was one of the teams that signed the petition that may or may not have had any effect on E-League's decision. Officially had zero effect on their decision because, you know, it was the rules. But CLG is a team that signed that petition and then clearly changed the roster well after the deadline to submit the rosters before E-League started with their two subs. Well after that happened, they changed JDM out for Kusta, and we're still allowed to compete.
And honestly, I don't have an answer. I don't. Other than the fact that the only thing I could think of is because it's a full roster swap.
Yeah.
And you don't think of that to happen.
I just hate it because everybody was like, well, these are the rules and this is what should stick by. But then this, right?
You know, maybe it was even a case of foot and mouth where they tweeted it out. And at that point, they could not go back on their word.
Right.
Like, you can't. The worst thing, and it would have been more damaging to E-League. Honestly, it would have in the long run. If they made this ruling to kick out SK and LG, everyone freaks out. And then all of a sudden, a week later, they go, sorry, Cloud9 and Gambit and Renegades. Everything's back to normal now. You guys go back to not being in the tournament, right? And we can have these guys back in. And sorry, we'll just swap organizations and rosters and be happy.
You know, I'm glad they didn't do that. I had said that when we first talked about it. I was glad they didn't, because I didn't want this big league to be pushed around by whatever whim the community happened to be on at the
time. You can't have your league ran by what Twitter says.
Yeah.
So that's all I have on that. But moving on, so you had that drama. By the end of it, I felt like people were okay with it, right?
Didn't matter.
We'll get to the finals, but obviously the finals are no spoiler, so we can kind of talk about them. Didn't matter at the finals. I can promise you when I was watching VP and Na'Vi, or VP and Fnatic, not once did I think, man, this just isn't right.
LG should be here.
LG, SK, where are they? Not once did I think that. And even if you ask me, I think SK or LG should have been in there with some no-name roster. But we're getting off that topic. We're done. Because I can talk for days about it. Because I still think if they were going to make a ruling, doesn't matter. I felt like
LG should have had LG's spot.
Yes.
Whatever roster was playing under LG should have
the
kept
organization
LG's spot.
LG should have kept their spot. And the players of SK, sorry, you signed up for a team that didn't qualify.
Right.
Sucks to suck. That's what I think the final decision should have been. But they didn't call me.
Yeah. That's why we're here recording
a
podcast.
Maybe I should check my junk mail. Maybe they did and I just didn't look.
Adjust your spam filter.
Yeah, but hey, what happens, happens. Now, this was interesting, though, and I actually did not know this until today. Did you know, despite the rule book stating that disqualified teams forfeit all potential winnings, the Turner EVP, made-up job title, Craig Berry, stated that SK Gaming and Team X would still be eligible for some unspecified winnings. So they threw him a bone.
Unspecified?
Yeah.
What is... That bothers me too. Why would it be unspecified?
Because it was probably not officially part of the original prize pool. It probably was not part of the $1 million. And it was probably like a sorry we screwed you kind of thing.
So where is their portion of the prize pool going?
Because
Liquid got $30,000 for finishing in like the last spot you can finish.
Liquid, Selfless, NRG, Team Solo Mid, Echo Fox, and Complexity Gaming. Wow. After reading that off, how Liquid. That was
an awful show in E-League. Season one E-League was something to forget.
Liquid will turn the page on that one. Wow. They got 30,000 though. You're right. For getting basically all tied for last place. So did Optic Gaming and Dignitas. So I don't know.
That's such a weird gray area too, because the spot belongs to the organization, but the prize pool typically goes to the players.
Dude, I couldn't even begin. Couldn't even begin to tell you how that worked out.
Oh, my goodness. This is why I want stability. Like, rosters that last for a full season and then change in the offseason.
Or at least have a trade deadline in the season.
Yeah.
Like, how hard would that be? I don't know. There's no... Season 2 is official. That is happening. But there's been no official word on when. And I really hope that it's not, like, 2 weeks from now. Like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Let's give this some time to breathe, all right? Props for not doing an all-star game. I appreciate that. Because that was the worst, is all-star game.
That's always my favorite. It's like, hey, let's do this exhibition match right before the finals and make everybody sit through 2.5 hours of garbage.
MLG Columbus, man. That was...
ruined it.
Never...
ruined it.
It just kills any hype. I wanted to go to bed. But I hope they give some time for this to go... kind of rehash their rule book a little bit, add a trade deadline. I think that would be awesome. But we'll see. I guess it's difficult. I guess it depends. Does E-League want to be a bro to all the other leagues out there and try not to bully other teams? Because, like, if E-League adds a deadline, that could technically cause a ripple effect with other tournaments coming up, right? Like, you want to compete with this roster said tournament, but E-League's trade deadline is approaching here in a week, and so if we really want to do this trade, we're going to have to change our roster now in a week for E-League, but this tournament's coming up and it's going to be in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Do you just go with the tournament with an old roster? Do you, you know, make it earlier than you wanted? I don't know. That's one of the many,
you know,
woes
who would never have a problem with that is Team Liquid, because their roster means nothing.
No, they I think they just kind of have names out of a hat and they'll pick a few
who's
there.
Who's playing today?
Now, I know a lot of pros have been outspoken about the number of tournaments that have happened. Olaf being one.
I actually pulled quotes for that one, yeah.
All right. I don't want to ruin your thunder. What's the quotes?
No, you did a lot of hard work.
I don't want to. I'm going to misquote them. You go ahead.
Direct quote from Olaf Meister in an interview with Slingshot Esports. I said that I am a firm believer that we should cut down the amount of tournaments. Specifically, he was talking about Na'Vi versus Fnatic, which was a semifinals game. He said, I can see them here, and it may be like 1 week I can see them again, so it's not that special anymore.
Which is kind of sad to hear one of the top pros say, like, it's just not special. Like, these tournaments honestly feel more of a, to me, over-dissecting that comment, seems like it's just more of a grind. To them now.
Oh, yeah, I definitely,
like,
agree with that.
Flying to these big tournaments and everything is not some crazy thing. It's just, we got to wake up at 8. This is going to suck because we're going to play till 1. And, you know, I'm going to be tired. It's just going to be awful. And guess what? I'll see you. We're in Atlanta now. I'll see you boys in Germany next week.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I'll see you back in Atlanta the next week.
3 days later.
Yeah, 3 days later, we'll meet up again. On the other side of the world.
Yeah, and for the viewers, I mean, I think you've said on one of our previous episodes that it's not special to see teams go up against one another anymore because you see them all the time.
Yeah, this is not, I mean, don't get me wrong, props for Olaf for saying that, but pro saying this is not something new. Like, we've been saying it on this show for a while now that there's just way too many tournaments that are all trying to get the spotlight on Twitch. And by doing so, they make these ridiculous prize pools or invites for players and teams. And how, like, I saw one suggestion on Reddit saying, well, then maybe the pros, like Fnatics and Navis and all these big teams, like top premier level teams, don't go to these tournaments. And then that way it opens the door for lesser teams, these smaller teams going in there.
That would be good because it would give, yeah. It'd give
I agree
them-
with that. But you're then asking people to walk away from like $100,000.
Yes and no, but I mean, if it's like if the tournament's only worth $100,000, you know, the top team's getting $10,000 a player.
And we've already seen that happen, right? That's why you see like DreamHack Austin with not top teams.
Like no top European team showed up for that. Yeah.
So you're starting to see that, but I think the bottom line is you just need to have it more regulated in the sense of, you know. That's why I wasn't completely against the WESA. which I'm pretty sure is dead, right?
So they went like in hiding, and then their Twitter account got banned from Twitter.
Awesome. It's like,
Deactivated by Twitter.
Good way to start your
business. After that, nothing. Everyone has kind of forgotten about it. So okay. I have no idea if they're even operating or not anymore.
So number of tournaments is always a talk right now. And even now that the players are voicing their opinions, I don't think that's going to change anything, though, because companies want to have sponsorships. Companies want their money. And yeah, I think you're going to see a consistent struggle now between E-League. You're going to see a struggle between FACEIT.
Well, FACEIT and E-League are kind of...
Well, that's a new relationship that's
a
little weird. Well, I don't know where that's going. But you have ECS.
Right.
Which is FACEIT, right?
Also made by FACEIT.
So that's weird, right? Are we just going to ignore the fact that FACEIT... I was going to bring this up, but FACEIT and E-League teamed up to do an Overwatch Open. So what are we doing there?
Sounds like FACEIT's just trying to make sure their hand is in whichever pot becomes the biggest one.
FACEIT's got different girls and different area codes right here.
Yeah, you know, they have ECS season 2 starting relatively soon, I think.
So there you go. You have FACEIT, E-League,
ESL, ESEA Pro League.
And those are the top 4 that you can think of that are always going to be sitting there struggling, and then you throw in random iBuyPower tournaments.
You know what? I don't even understand why ESL has kept DreamHack around. Cuz you want to talk about teams not going to smaller tournaments. That's DreamHack, right? DreamHack is like the smaller of the bigger tournaments at this point.
Well, it all depends on what DreamHack you go to, right?
Yeah.
DreamHack Austin, yeah, that's going to be small. DreamHack Malmo or something over in Europe, those are going to be huge. I mean, DreamHack has had majors before.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's ESL owns, the same company that owns ESL owns DreamHack. Why they wouldn't use that as a way to bolster minor play, but it's all money. It's money.
Yeah, it's money to the, you say you don't understand it. Well, to them, it's going to the same pocket. It's going to the same bank account. DreamHack has been around forever as this big LAN event, this expo, right? It's the DreamHack Expo, and it just happens to also have tournaments there.
Right.
So to them, it's the same thing. To us, it's weird, but to them, it's just another tournament and another dollar figure. But moving on, I guess for the sake of impressions, I would say E-League met mine. I went in wanting a very professionally done TV performance. They delivered on that. Richard Lewis did a phenomenal job. Thorin, you know.
I'm going to throw this out there. I was most impressed with Mo's ability on the desk. I know we're supposed to hate him right now because of the whole skins thing and gambling or whatever, but I think he did a pretty decent job.
We're just going to say like week one.
Yeah, for overall, I think the entire desk did a pretty good job.
I do too. Thorin still made his cringe jokes that I just felt like...
But he did, but the thing I liked about it was everyone tried really hard to move on very fast.
Richard Lewis was definitely on point with his like, okay.
And we're going on.
Predictions. Let's go to predictions. So no, I agree with that. Now, can I be real with you? Hashtag real talk.
Oh, I just did the hashtag symbol with his fingers.
Caught like 1.5 games on actual TV.
I did not watch it on actual TV very often. Yeah.
So I know before I preach saying like, you guys need to support esports on TV. Friday nights are kind of a busy night for me. I work 2 jobs plus this podcast that I don't get paid for. So obviously I follow the money, and normally I have to do some type of other job on a Friday night. So I catch it on my phone, catch it on my laptop. I still watched them. From what I saw on TV, they were really good, but I didn't catch as much as I wanted to on TV. Obviously though, Friday night at 9 o'clock, I think it starts our time. Which, by the way, and I know this was the first, this was an experiment, right? So 9 o'clock on a Friday on TBS is probably the best you're going to get. In the future, I feel like it's going to have better time slots. I'm getting too old for these 9 o'clock starts.
It goes to like 11, doesn't it?
Dude, yeah. Sometimes it's like over midnight. You get that overtime, or it goes to the third map. You're past midnight. I go to 10 o'clock. Go to bed at 10 o'clock on a regular night when I have to work in the morning.
Yeah.
So I am struggling. And all I could think of, you want to know what? And I just want our friend Alchemist to know this. When I'm sitting in bed, naked, struggling to stay awake, watching E-League, I think to myself, what would Alchemist do? And that poor bastard is probably 10 times as tired as me, and he has to work it.
And every single one.
And then I smile, and then I go to bed. And then I'll catch the matches in the morning because I watch the VODs.
It's, I mean, speaking of time slots, it's season two. Season
like
one.
I said, I don't, you know, who knows what season two will deliver? Maybe they'll put it on primetime Thursdays. I don't have to stay up till midnight.
They did, E-League did release some numbers. The first season generated 897 million gross minutes of consumption. So TV and Twitch.
Okay, so first season, this is overall?
The first season was 897 million gross minutes.
Do you have the final ratings? I could not find those.
I have all the stats of the
I couldn't find what it pulled for on Saturday for like the finals at 5 o'clock because the finals started at a decent time.
And it says, it said E-League drove more than 3.4 million new viewers to TBS. Peak of 168,500 concurrent streams on Twitch. Reached nearly 19 million total viewers on TBS. I mean, there's, I think it did pretty well.
I do too. I know from like week one and two that, and week three, like there was a few weeks in there that had like drop off in viewership. And that's when a lot of people, like, that's when I saw after week, not the semifinals, but the week before semifinals, whatever week that was, that's where I started seeing people go like, well, it's just too long. I lost interest in it, which to me doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're a fan of the sport, right, you're a fan of Counter-Strike, why would you get less interested the better the competition got? Like, you got less interested as we got into the playoffs?
I wonder if that's an effect of the
Do you just enjoy regular season?
I wonder if it's an effect of the fact that most of the tournaments last a weekend, like a single weekend.
Well, but it's like, I think it's more of an effect of people not realizing what they're watching.
Yeah.
They're not realizing it's a season. And each week you have a group, not, you know, yeah, you're right. There's not going to be a winner decided this week. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, do you watch football all through the regular season and then you get to the Super Bowl and think, meh, kind of out. kind of done with this now. No, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you what. I'm a fan of the Detroit Lions. They have never once been in a Super Bowl. I can promise you I have never once missed a Super Bowl. So for these people to be like, well, it's because there was this was an NA design tournament and there were no NA teams really after, you know, Cloud9 got through the bone and was allowed back in. But that's such a, it's such a cop out to me to say, well, there's no NA teams. First off, who gives a rip if there's NA teams when you have Fnatic versus VP for the finals? Like, that's top teams clashing, historic teams clashing. The veterans are in there. And you're going to tell me, well, you know what? I was really looking forward to NRG. If Peter was in the finals and I'd watch. Like, oh,
if Shaq was up there hyping him up.
Right, yeah.
I'd be in.
If only if Selfless made it. Damn it. Like, no, don't give me that. Don't give me that you're bored with it. If you're bored with it, then maybe Counter-Strike and esports is not the game for you. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. Like, I don't know. Maybe stick with your weekend tournaments, but I don't watch Counter-Strike to see a result in a couple of hours. I watch it because I enjoy the game.
You're so weird. I don't understand you.
Right. Heaven forbid if I want to see it drawn out and have storylines and dramas throughout the season. Let's be honest, the only reason there was drama this E-League was because SK got eliminated or disqualified. If it wasn't for SK and LG getting disqualified, the brackets would have gone pretty much exactly as predicted all the way through.
Well, I mean, it would have changed. So the interesting point about the brackets, VP and Mouse Sports both managed to qualify through the last chance qualifier playoff before entering the playoffs, the last chance qualifier for it. they both managed to make it through that last chance qualifier, and you're looking at two teams in the top four. Don't know if that would have happened if LG was there. Probably wouldn't have seen Mouse Sports participating.
I mean, you still would have, though, right? Looking at the brackets, I don't think Mouse Sports would have touched LG all throughout. You had in the last chance bracket, you had Mouse Sports play G2, then FaZe, and then that's how they got out. The really only team it affected was Renegades, because Renegades joined in, beat Flipside, then got dominated by VP. So VP would have been the only one in threat of that change. If I'm reading the brackets correctly, which take with a grain of salt that anyone can read these brackets correctly. So, I don't know. I was going to make another soapbox point, but I forget it. Why don't you make a point, and I'll think of what my point was as I pretend to listen.
Speaking of season two, we do have to give a little shout out to the production staff. They did do a wonderful job, but I think a little more freedom next time. They're learning how to broadcast an entirely new game, right? But I think they did a pretty good job. We were told we needed to give a shout out to Mr. Helium, or AKA Joey, on his replay producing. Stuff that we didn't even get to see because it was so advanced. So there is hope for season two that it will be more engaging.
We didn't get to see because, A, sometimes you do a lot of work and it doesn't get happen, right? That's live TV for you. That's live production. And B, you didn't get to see any of that online, which I know some people were complaining about because TV kind of got the better deal, quote unquote, but get used to it. Have you ever watched a sport online? It's the same thing. You don't get commercials.
I did get frustrated when it was like Observer feed and then just nothing for 10, 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what it is. Everyone knew that going in. So
yeah,
it's whatever. Yeah. Is it frustrating? Sure. What do you want? You want like a dancing bear on stage?
Honestly, I wanted to see the desk, but I understand that they could not legally produce that on Twitch because it was on TBS.
Right. Maybe if they hired two guys to handle the online feed, just two guys. Maybe with a podcast and a struggling bank account.
And a willingness to move to Atlanta.
And get paid probably far less than the next guy. Moving on, though. So that's impressions, right? Overall, very happy with it. Can't really complain about one thing. They didn't cheese it up. I thought it was very professionally done. Right? Not as much confetti as the Democratic Convention, but, you know. That was a tall, tall task to climb. But moving on to the finals, because I do want to talk a little bit about the actual performance of E-Leagues in the final. Okay. You had, like we've mentioned earlier, Fnatic versus Virtus Pro. They made the finals there. If there's three things in life that I go by, right? If I had to pick three rules, okay, listeners, three rules to live by in life. Rule number one, every lake has a dead body in it. You follow me? Every lake has a dead body. Guarantee you. Every hotel room has had sex in it. That's what they do to warm it up. And number three, don't ever bet against VP on land. Those are three rules that you can always go by in life and you'll be fine. Because for whatever reason, when VP gets they get counted out and then all of a sudden they show up on these land tournaments, this, the major, and they just dominate. Actually, Taz made a funny tweet. Do you have that?
I don't have it in front of me, but I was laughing. I was going to bring it up.
So Taz made a funny tweet after they won, or was it before they won? But he made a funny tweet where it was the first time in Counter-Strike history that a premier team, because they were knocked out of the Pro League and ESEA, was able to make a finals
of a
before.
They said of a major, of but a major, it's a major tournament.
A major event. Yeah. Not a major, quote unquote, but it's a major event. And I thought that was a little good tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
It was a good tongue-in-cheek. It's like, all right, you know, applaud you, Taz, for that. At the same time, you're still premier in one league because you didn't give a rip about it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, shame on you because the only reason you can make that joke is because you're not pro. In that league?
Virtus Premier.
So that's one thing you want to look at. But the finals was really... So let me back up. Does it always seem like in tournaments, and I felt like this way at MLG Major, the semifinals always produce better games than the finals. Is that a fair statement?
You say the semifinals always produce?
Right.
Oh.
I mean, think about it. This you had, I felt like the VP and Mouse was a really good game, even though Nico didn't play out of his mind.
I mean,
but this, like, you had the finals here. Everyone was expecting some epic clash between Fnatic and VP, and it really didn't turn out that way. Virtus Pro kind of dominated them from the get-go.
I'm going to tell you right now, Fnatic lost that entire series, lost that in the map picks. I think I mentioned it to you earlier. They literally gave the game, the very first map, gave it to Virtus Pro. Why they did what they did is beyond me.
Listen, I don't care what map you get, okay? I don't care what map you choose. When Olafmeister goes 9-21 on that map with only a 42.5 average damage per round, you're not going to win. Like, if you have, forget if Olafmeister, if you have anyone on your team going 9-21 with only 42 damage around, you're not going to win that game. But when one of your star player, the guy who came back from injury and is supposed to be the best Counter-Strike player in the world, goes 9-21, that probably is not a good sign for the rest of your night.
He has not been playing up to snuff lately. But I mean,
so do we want to look into it? Let's act like we're professional talk show hosts for a second and dive into that comment and be like, well, let's see. He's not been playing well. He came back from an injury, so maybe his injury is still hurting a little bit. But he also made that comment of too many tournaments, and it's not really exciting. So maybe it's a mental thing of him not enjoying it as much. Maybe it's a dedication thing.
He actually, in that same story that I quoted earlier from Olafmeister, brought up his injury and basically said that it's getting better each day. He can do more and more. And this was kind of in the same ilk of talking about too many tournaments. He did say that if there were less tournaments, that not necessarily he wouldn't have gotten injured. Because if there were less tournaments, he would have just been practicing at home. He said the biggest thing leading up to his injury, and probably Guardians as well, and he even said Pronax suffered from the same thing when he kind of fell off a cliff last year, was they were not taking care of their, or he was not taking care of himself physically outside of the game, which is ridiculous. I'm sure a lot of people are like, what do you mean? You're playing a video game. You're just sitting there. But yeah, the repetitive movement of,
right,
you know, you got to do some kind of physical strengthening or rehab work to offset the garbage that you're doing to your wrist.
You do the same movements for probably 12 hours a day and for as long as they do. And let me know what happens. You'll probably need something looked at. One thing, though, we didn't actually bring up before we started talking about these finals, and I wanted to at least bring it up here, is the fact that these finals were not shown. The semifinals and the finals were not shown in Germany. Reason being is Jacob Wolf from ESPN, he wrote, he didn't break the news, but he wrote it, that, let's see here, he said, Freaks 4U, which is a gaming marketing company in Germany, announced here, released a statement to 99 Damage, which is a big German Twitch channel, that basically E-League and their shows are getting pulled from TV networks in Germany, mainly being just because the recent terrorist attacks and everything there. I'm assuming they felt like there. That being said, Germany also has a history of not allowing violent games. They don't allow Mortal Kombat there. They don't allow Grand Theft Auto, things like that. Mainly because the violence. They see them as an overly violent game that influences behavior. Which is weird, because like Germany historically has been such a peaceful country. Like, you think that they would just be cool with that type of stuff.
Maybe they're trying to avoid starting another one.
Well, here's my thing, and I don't want this to turn into a does video games cause violent discussion, right? I don't want it to be that way. So if that's the way it turns out, I apologize ahead of time. However, I do see people who are on the internet going like, oh yeah, that's true, and insert some other stupid Scarecrow reference, right? Like you're just, you're creating, isn't that what it, the
straw man.
Straw man, right? You're creating a straw man. You're trying to distract me from the problem. And here's my take on it. Okay. I don't think video game causes violence. Like playing Counter-Strike is not going to make you want to shoot anyone, right? Do video games influence violent behavior? And that's a different question. Do they cause violent behavior and do they influence? That's two different arguments. And I weigh in on the, yes, they definitely can influence behavior. Anything can influence behavior. We live in a country where a guy just got out of a psych ward because he tried to kill Reagan because he thought Jodie Foster would notice him and want to marry him if he did it.
But he just got out?
Yeah. They released him.
Huh.
So, well, I don't know if he just got out, but, you know, I host an esports podcast. All right, let's not.
I was surprised you went there at all.
Fact
anyway.
Check my references. But my point being is, if some dude can think killing the president is going to make Jodie Foster notice him, you can best believe that some dude who plays Grand Theft Auto going around shooting up people might get an idea to go and shoot up people there. Now, am I saying these people are probably mentally stable? Probably not. But anything can influence someone who is mentally unstable. Take it from someone who worked with mentally unstable people for all throughout college. Anything can influence anyone to do stupid things. So to all of a sudden jump on Germany saying that way to cave in to the man, you know, way to not stick up to the government and prove that esports is different. This was not the time and place for esports to try to argue. This was not the time and place for people on Twitter or people on Reddit to try to, you know, grab their pitchforks and be internet warriors and try to convince the country of Germany that, hey, I know there's been recent terrorist attacks, but let's show this game that's against terrorists and counter-terrorists, where, by the way, the terrorists can win. I'm just saying it's not so black and white. Like, people think of, do you remember back in high school, we were playing WoW, and there was a story about some kid in China who set his classmate on fire, and they asked him why he did it, and he was like, well, because I wanted to be a pyromage.
I don't remember that.
That happened. That's a real story. I think it was like a 14-year-old in China. My point being is that anyone can be stupid, and if they want to blame the game, that's fine, but don't be naive and say that something cannot have an influence on someone.
Right. I don't disagree with anything you said.
And that's my non-editorial of my Germany and esports take. Oh, I said, because I saw a lot of people like bashing
Germany for it.
Yeah, Germany or Freaks for You or anybody who was involved or Turner for not trying to push for it. And even Richard Lewis came out and said, like, I have no problem with their decision. You know, I wish it wasn't that decision. I wish one day that Germany can look past the nature of shooting people and realize that what people are like, I'm not watching Counter-Strike to see someone kill someone. I'm watching for the skills.
Right.
I'm watching for the elite flicks, bro. But
the one tap. Ask me about my one tap.
The one tap. That's all I have to say. I don't know. Sorry, I got serious for a moment and it's just been on my mind.
I don't even know where to go now. Where are we at?
Let's go to Dota. Unless you have anything you want to bring up. Yeah, you worked hard. I don't want to cut your notes off.
No, I'm good. Let's go to Dota.
All right. Closing the book on E-League Season 1. Can't wait for Season 2. I'm sure we'll do a preview. Maybe get some guests. I don't know. It's kind of hard to get those E-League guests. They don't mess
They're
around.
On lockdown.
Yeah, they are. Or maybe it's just our podcasts suck and isn't popular enough to get them. Probably a mixture of both. Probably a little bit of both. So Dota 2, the International 6. TI 16 is coming up fast. This Wednesday, actually, in 2 days. August 3rd. It is happening. I am stoked. Cannot wait. It is easily one of the most amazing times of the year. If I have to pick, man, I just did this to myself. I shouldn't have. TI and Evo. It's like 1 and 2. Like, I get more jazzed for this than I do any Counter-Strike major. And I think the reason being is because, like, this is it. Like, this is...
So the decision for Valve to introduce majors to the Dota 2 environment hadn't changed your opinion on the international at all?
No. No. This, to me, is the holy grail of Dota tournaments. It's just ran pretty flawlessly. No one ever really complains about it. It's ran really, really smooth. And I don't think... In fact, I think that the majors that Valve added helps it. Because you see these build-ups, right? Now we have storylines like, oh, OG is a defending champion. EG is a defending champion. Can they defend their majors? Because now this is the international. This is where the big boys come to play.
Valve is actually reducing the majors by one after this international. So there'll be two instead of three.
Why would they do that?
Too much. I guess they're trying to make sure that they don't wash or, you know, water down the international.
So
there'll be like a spring and a fall major and then the international.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'll get back to you on that one.
Right.
Because I liked the number four. I felt like four was a good number. That's just me.
Anyway.
Or maybe they're thinking about giving Counter-Strike an international.
I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think so either, because I think those are two different teams that we don't understand what happens behind closed doors.
As far as my understanding goes, is that each game has its own team that does everything
like
for
Valve,
it.
Valve, yes, is the company, but two completely different.
That's why you have stickers that go directly to the teams in Counter-Strike, and the international has the crowdfunding.
That's why you
prize
have
pool.
Transparency, and you know what the hell is going on, and what the hell are you doing, Valve? Give me something. Oh, you gave me an R8 that can one shot me from
across
the map. Thank
new
you.
New gun sounds, reload sounds that make no sense.
Thank you. That's what we wanted. That's what we wanted, though, right? We said, Valve, please, please fix the gun noises. It's just the immersion is getting ruined right now.
Anyway. Crowdfunded
Dota. And I think that's another reason why it gets me so jacked up. Like, the amount of money that these guys are playing for is insane. Like, I looked it up here. I have it here. Basically, you can get dead last place and still make, let's see, looking here, an E-League. All right. So if you got third and fourth, Mousesports and Na'Vi in E-League, Mousesports walked away with 70,000. Na'Vi walked away with 60.
That's all third and fourth place.
Right. You want to know what third and fourth place gets you in the TI?
Hmm.
Third place gets you just over 2 million, and fourth place gets you 1.3 at the moment. Because I pulled these earlier today, I don't know what the numbers are now. I'm sure that is updating constantly. What's the total prize pool that you have for...
So I also pulled it this afternoon at about 5:30 from the TI prize pool tracker. And the total was $19,314,506. $17,714,506 of that was crowdfunded. So they started with $1.6 million and it is now almost 20.
And that obviously broke the record of last year. Next year is going to break the record of this year. And it's going to always break the previous years. Like, this is not something that just all of a sudden loses steam. Right? Because what happened is, like, the crowd now, like, people are getting so hyped just to see that dollar amount go up. So you're going to get people who just donate They buy the in-game compendium and all that. There's a lot of things that go to it. But the dollar value, I think, helps the hype of the tournament, which is why I wish Counter-Strike would add, like, get their big tournament in for crowdfund sourcing that Valve can host in Seattle, just like they do the TI, right? Valve's headquarters is in Seattle. I don't know why they don't just show the same respect for their games like others, but alas, they don't ask me those questions. Now, looking here, though, all right, I want to make some bold predictions. Nothing too crazy, all right? I do think OG will defend their title from their last major, that is. I think OG will win. I think they will get their TI trophy. I think EG will not defend it. In fact, I don't think EG is going to make it out of group play. I don't think America will be represented outside of group play in this tournament. I think that the way the groups are lined up, just it does not bode well for USA in this. Just let me tell you that. Looking at Group A, that's where you have Evil Genius, right? Well, you have OG, who is, I think, way better. You have Wings Gaming, who has been up and coming. They're going to make some heads turn there. You have LGD, that's going to make it. I look at Group A and, like, seriously, like, six teams can beat Evil Genius, because I think Evil Genius still is kind of getting used to their roster and everything there. They just haven't been performing that well. And it's only the top four out of each group make it. So I think Evil Genius does not make it out of group. And therefore, USA doesn't really stand a chance, because Digital Chaos is not going to make it out of group either. But what can you do? The one thing that I really want to look in, and I think I bring it up every time we discuss Dota, is Team Liquid. A team that is always the bridesmaids, never the bride. They are the curse of second place. They get second place in a lot of tournaments, a lot of majors. But they just can't seem to go over that hump. And they're falling into kind of the trap that Navi CSGO division gets the rap for, where it's like, you've gotten second place, or you've gotten, you know, so close so many times that somehow you're viewed as being bad. Right? Like, you
no,
get,
I
you
totally
get what
see
I'm
that.
Saying. Like,
I totally, yeah, everyone looks at Navi and nobody thinks great team. They think of perennial failures.
Right. And it's a like, weird thing.
Like, these people are literally making a living off of finishing in second place in these major tournaments.
Like, Liquid could get second here and still walk away with $3 million. A little over $3 million. But if Liquid all of a sudden makes it to final and lose again, that's all they're going to hear is, Liquid, they just can't finish it. They suck. They need to switch their roster up. And it's just, you want to beat your head into the door when you have people calling for these roster moves or saying that they're bad because they get second place. It's so funny how we view that. Like, yeah. Think of like the Buffalo Bills in the NFL. They made the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, never won it, and they're like laughed out of stadiums for that. I mean, they did make the Super Bowl, though, 4 years in a row. I see the humor in not winning it. But, I mean, if you told me, hey, look, you're going to be on a Dota 2 team, but you're never going to win it all, you'll always become second place, I'd probably be okay with that.
Well, yeah, when second place is pumping out how much money?
$3 million. I would be okay with that. And then my enemy for this tournament is Team Secret. Mainly because they have Arteezy on it, and I still have a bad taste in my mouth the way Arteezy handled the whole leaving LG, joining Secret, going back to EG, and then going back to Team Secret. Every tournament needs an enemy, and Arteezy is just going to be my enemy. That's all.
Yeah, I remember going through that whole situation. The thing that upset me the most about it was the fact that because they switched players so many players so quickly, they had to go through the qualifiers.
Yes.
And it's like, come on, dude. You literally just took two spots from a team that probably could have used $96,000 last place is going to get.
But no, Team Secret and Evil Genius, you are correct. They earned their spot here through qualifiers. So good on them. Good on you guys for surviving qualifiers. But yeah, again, I think OG is going to, every time I watch them, they just dominate. So I think OG is going to win this. Team Wings, maybe. Wings might, you might see them in Wings Gaming, but I think OG will be able to handle anything that they throw at them, especially Newbie. And Newbie's China's top team that you really don't see much out from either big Chinese tournaments or internationals. You don't see them at the little ones, so Newbie is always interesting to see, but I think OG will be fine. But we will definitely discuss it, and you are actually going to watch some of it, right? You're not big into Dota, let's be honest. Your silence during this whole preview
I've got the groups up, and I know three names.
Okay, so we will watch. You will watch.
They have a noob stream, right?
Oh, yes. That's a good thing to bring up. And honestly, I watch the noob stream still just because it's slow. Yeah, it's just informational, I guess. I don't know. Yelling.
Go to Twitch. When the international is going on, there will be a noob stream for people like me where they will explain everything.
Everything. All right. There will be no stones unturned with that stream. They do a really good job of everyone watching. And then if you're like, God, I know this stuff, then all right, go watch the other one.
Go to the deep end.
Yeah.
Go ahead and jump into the 6 foot in.
Typically Toby One is doing the more senior. What's skiing? Like when you go to the big boy hill?
I just know bunny slopes are for the...
All right. No, I don't know. I've never been skiing, so I'm not as
We don't have snow in Texas.
So you'll watch it. We'll watch the finals. We'll come back and Brandon will give his pro analysis breakdown.
I feel like you're just publicly shaming me on the podcast, so I'll actually do it.
Look, there's a lot of people who know more about Dota 2 than I do. I like it. But moving on, let's move on to the e-news. All right, we have a handful of stories here, so why don't you start us off?
LG has actually been in the business of signing new rosters. One of them being the
LG CSGO.
Luminosity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They also signed an Overwatch team.
Oh, okay. So you went next level on me. Okay.
Luminosity signed the European Overwatch roster to Strong with a K. Don't know. Anyway, they were currently on Gosu Gamers, ranked number 5 in European and number 10 in the world. They just signed them to participate in what I assume is going to be similar, you know, Face It and E-League's Overwatch Open. Those tournaments are quick.
Well, so what it is, it's each week is a qualifier for the main one.
Right.
So like this week, you had on the EU side, Rogue took out Reunited. But that's just for that week's qualifier. Next week, I believe Reunited can play again and qualify in that week's qualifier.
Really? Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works. And then like, so for North America side this week, you had Cloud9 defeating LG. So next week, LG, I believe, will have their chance to come back and try to qualify yet again. Because see, in week one qualifier, Envious did it. So I'm pretty sure that's how they got it. Don't quote me. I didn't care enough to research it. I'm pretty sure that's how they do it.
That's off the top of the dome. All right, go ahead.
So you have 4 weeks of qualifiers, and then that's when the actual open starts. Yes. Also, you have, let's see. Oh, actually, so I was watching esports all week and everything, looking at my Twitter feed. All right. If I were to tell you to guess the year, all right, I thought I took a time machine and passed 10 years ago. Because in my Twitter feed, you had MLG tweeting about Gears of War. There was a Halo tournament and a Rainbow Six World Tournament this weekend, all on my Twitter feed.
That is like OG 2005.
That is old school 2005, 2006 MLG. Like, I was like, wow, what is going on where Gears of War, Halo,
did you just
and
lean
Rainbow.
Back in your chair and you're like,
dude, I watched it all. Well, okay. I watched some Gears of War because that's still Gears of War. Like, they don't change that. Halo 5, it's not the Halo I grew up and loved, but I can follow it. I get it. Capture the flag. Rainbow Six Siege, it's not the same, man.
I've seen people play that game. Same. I don't understand how anyone ever considered it being, or still considers it being a competitive game.
I don't know. I watched it, and this dude's machine gun had a shield on it, and I was like, I'm done.
Yep.
Back when we were semi-pro in Rainbow Six Vegas, if you wore any type of body armor, we laughed at you.
You move so freaking slow.
You were laughed if you used any type of armor. That's when we could publicly shame you, and that's how we held the community together. other than that, that's really all I have for e-news, my friend.
I figured you were going to bring it up. LG CSGO signing a new Brazilian roster. Used to be known as Winouts, including NAC, Bit, Destiny, PKL, and YEL.
Yes, and you did bring up that's Brazilian.
Yeah, they are Brazilian. Once again, LG is hoping they can probably dig into the same talent pool a little bit.
I liked the fact that they kept the Brazilian theme because that's where their fan base was, right? You have half the country of Brazil is wearing LG jerseys.
Yeah, that way they don't have to go buy new ones.
This makes completely sense. And if anything, now it's like, all right, who are you going to go with your homegrown feel of being an LG fan, or are you going to jump bandwagons and go to SK Gaming? I encourage everyone to still support LG. Don't support SK. They're the Trumps of CSGO. They just bought their wins. They didn't earn them. Anyways, are we done?
Yeah, Twitter's. You gotta do Twitter stuff now. This is your job, host.
Well, see,
I'm just a talent.
You can't do two things at once. So when you look at your phone,
I'm just a talent.
You get lost.
You can follow us on Twitter.
Yes, you can follow us, the show, on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom, and you can follow Brandon on Twitter at
BrandAnyNew.
BrandAnyNew. I hope you liked the show. Episode 37 of The Center Ring, TCR for short, is in the books. Check us out on the website, www.tcr.gg. Like I said, there's a little email thing at the bottom.
It's huge.
It's a giant white square on a black
website. You can't miss it. Contact us.
Let us know what you think. As well, I'll bring it up. I don't know if I'm supposed to. The show will also be featured on Blowout Podcast Network. There's a lot of good podcasts on there if you are into crazy stuff. There's one actually below the belt I find fascinating. They basically take crazy-ass fighting scenarios. Just discuss that. Like lion versus T-Rex. If I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know if that's an episode. If it is, it should be. But that's what they'll discuss. So check that out, too. I'm sure it'll be somewhere on our Twitter. Again, that is at The Center Ring. I hope you enjoy the show. We will be back next week. We will discuss some international. I'm sure there will be something going on in Counter-Strike we can always discuss.
Absolutely.
Until then, take it easy, and we'll see you for episode 38.